and welcome to Agile Sustainability. Today, we will talk about digital sustainability. And we have a very special speaker, Simon, who combines academic research with business practices seamlessly. Simon is an assistant professor of strategic management from Singapore Management University. He is also an entrepreneur who founded a social enterprise called Handprint and an NGO called Global Mangrove Trust. I was super impressed when I learned about his experiences on digital sustainability, and he is very generous to share his experiences and expertise on this topic with our listeners today. So, Simon, tell us more about your research and your businesses.
Hi, thanks very much for having me, Feng. So, yeah, I'm Simon. I am a professor focusing on the intersection of digitization and sustainability. So my interest really is in trying to understand how are companies and startups using the newish digital technologies like AI, blockchain, 5G, mobile, Internet of Things, these kind of technologies, how are these technologies being used to address sustainable development? And my personal interest is specifically in the environmental side of sustainable development. So how are we using these technologies to tackle issues like climate change, the biodiversity loss we're facing, the overfishing, all of these kind of problems that relate to the natural world. And as an academic, we typically sit behind the desk in some kind of ivory tower and do research that is very often very devoid of reality and stands quite far away from industry because it's academic research and it doesn't necessarily need to influence industry directly. But I grew out of that quite quickly once I became a professor, and I've been very fortunate to meet people that have somewhat pushed me towards entrepreneurship. So initially in 2017, we set up a nonprofit organization called Global Mangrove Trust, together with Ryan, who was at the time working as a postdoc at SMU, together with me. And the reason why we set up that organization was because we'd done a case study about a nonprofit in Myanmar that was using blockchain and also drones for reforestation projects. And that was just very cool. And so we spent a week there and we learned a lot about the project and also lots about the problems. And we came back very optimistic and very naive, maybe thinking we can create solutions for this space. We can do better than what is currently being done. And that basically became Global Mangrove Trust. And then 2 years into that NGO venture, we started working with Mathias Boissonneau, our current CEO at Handprint. He was working for us on a pro bono basis, so advising us on how we could get access to grant money from the government. And we very quickly realized that, hey, we actually really like working together, and maybe we should set up a social enterprise to scale some of the technologies we'd been developing with the NGO. And that was where Handprint came from. And now we are about 2 years further. Handprint has raised initial seed funding from business angels. We're 16 people and growing. And we are very hopeful that we're going to change the world. Yeah, that's where we are.
Wow, sounds like you have a lot of interesting experiments and experiences around the topic digital sustainability. Well, before we dive deeper into the topic, what is the definition you want to give for digital sustainability? How do you define the term?
Right, so there are actually two perspectives on this. And one is to decrease the environmental impact of digital technologies like the internet and blockchain. And so, for instance, there was recently a documentary on CNA called Greening the Net, which really looks at that, like what is the environmental footprint of digital technology? And so digital sustainability then is about reducing that impact. That is typically not what I'm focused on. So we defined in one of our papers, we defined digital sustainability as the organizational activities that seek to advance sustainable development goals through creative deployment of technologies that create, use, transmit, or source electronic data. So that's the academic definition that we've given. So in simple terms, it's really the use of AI, blockchain, mobile technologies, IoT, remote sensing, drones for social and environmental benefits. That is what I would call digital sustainability.
Mm. So what led you to this definition? What are the signs and examples that you see in digital sustainability?
Well, the definition really came out of our own experiences and the realization that there was a convergence going on between the sustainability space, which I've been a part of since, let's say, 2006, maybe, when I started my degree in business ethics and in environmental sustainability, and the digitization, which has been going on as a major trend in business for quite a few years, but has been accelerating a lot. Right, I would say like this podcast is a great sign that these two things are converging. We're talking about agile sustainability, so agile software development, and then sustainability. Startups like mine, of course, are a sign because we are using digital technologies to address these challenges. But more broadly, there are two kind of underpinning currents that are driving this. So one is the digital transformation of business in general, right? So it is arguably the most important trend that has been going on in business in the last couple of years, and especially, of course, during the pandemic, massively accelerated with work from home. And so everything is now digital and mobile first, especially in Asia. So we have this trend that is happening. At the same time, there is a big trend in business as well, which we call the expansion of corporate purpose. So purpose for an organization, for a for-profit organization, is broadening, right? 10, 20 years ago, you could get away with being a company or being a big company at least and saying, oh, my only reason to exist is to make as much profit as possible. That's my purpose. I want to maximize profit. And that's still important in businesses, but more and more, companies need to broaden that perspective. They say, okay, we want to earn profit, but our employees really care about social well-being, and we need to take care of the environment. Otherwise, there won't be any environment left. And so the purpose of an organization is broadening and is including sustainability. And as a consequence, it makes sense that these two big trends are converging, because companies are using digital for everything and sustainability becomes part of purpose. So of course, they're going to start using digital for sustainability. So that was kind of the observation in the background of where we started thinking about digital sustainability as a new type of activity for companies.
Yeah, that sounds like a very incisive insight on the convergence of the two. So just now you mentioned that companies are broadening their purpose beyond just getting the profits. Then that sounds like a motivation for the business to embrace digital sustainability. Then besides that, what are the other key drivers that you see that push business towards this direction?
So there's a couple of examples that I can give, right? One of the reasons why using digital technologies for sustainability challenges makes sense is because it allows you to increase efficiency by lowering costs and by increasing credibility. So what is a simple example of this? You can have an IoT device that measures your electricity consumption as an organization, right? Or that monitors emissions if you're in manufacturing, right? By connecting that immediately to like a digital system, it could be a blockchain or it could simply be like a monitoring system, you have much better monitoring. And typically when you monitor something better, it's easier to intervene in it, to make changes to a process, and potentially to reduce costs. So the better monitoring internally is very important. On the other hand, also with these new digital technologies, it's not only about better monitoring, but it's also we can monitor new things, right? So with my own startup, with Global Mangrove Trust, one of the things we are trying to monitor is the evolution of forests. So, and you use satellites and you use machine learning algorithms in order to estimate, okay, how quickly is a forest evolving and how much carbon is being sequestered in that forest over time? And these things were not really possible 5 or 10 years ago. It's really these new technologies that have enabled this at a scale that is cost effective, right? So we can monitor new things, we can better monitor what we're doing. And on the other hand, also, digital technologies are everywhere, right? Our entire lives are mediated by digital technologies. If we're not on our phone, we're on Zoom, right? And especially, of course, again, during the pandemic. So what that also means is that companies' corporate activities have become much more visible, right? If you are a fast fashion company and you're, let's say, your Bangladeshi garment manufacturer has poor labor standards, it only takes one tweet to wipe off, a couple of billion of your valuation. And for an example, very recently, Ronaldo, the footballer, removed the bottle of Coca-Cola that was in front of his interview after his game that he played a couple of days ago in the Euros. I'm a football fan. So they removed the bottle of Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola lost $4 billion in valuation.
Wow.
And I'm not sure it's completely related, but that's the power of digital, right? Mm. They do this because it goes viral online. He's like, I don't drink Coca-Cola, I drink water. And suddenly Coca-Cola's valuation tanks. And I think given that digital is so powerful, it has to influence everything a company is doing. And so companies are going to be confronted with this need to manage to manage sustainability through the use of digital technologies just to stay ahead of the times.
Mm. So it sounds like companies are receiving increasing social pressure because of digitalization has linked everyone from everywhere together. There was another motivation that you were mentioning in your paper, which is called appropriate private value from the creation of public goods. I'm not sure if our listeners will be able to understand this. So can you elaborate on this a little bit?
Yeah, great. This is a great question. So, because I think it's one of the most interesting things that is happening in the last couple of years. So one of the key problems in economics is that typically, if you allow people and companies to self-organize, we will underinvest in what is called common pool resources, like forests or meadows or savanna or nature in general. We underinvest in nature because nobody owns nature, right? And we can't appropriate the value of nature, not in a very efficient way. And what that creates is what is known in economics as the tragedy of the commons, right? So common pool resources, the commons, are facing this economic tragedy because we know that collectively we should invest more in their preservation, but individually we don't have enough incentive to do so. This is a massive problem in economics. It is depending on who you believe, but it's kind of responsible for climate change. We can all emit carbon dioxide into the atmosphere because, well, individually we don't suffer as much as collectively, right? But what digital technologies enable is to do something that was previously almost unthinkable. It's to say we can now invest in, let's say, a common pool resource like a forest, but we can create a digital token, a digital proof that me, the company, or me, the entrepreneur, that I have invested in this common pool, in this common good. And that creates a difference between the benefit that is being created, let's say the tree that absorbs CO2, which is great for everyone. But the claim to that benefit belongs to an individual or a company. It's the company that can say, my operations are carbon neutral because I have compensated my emissions. And that claim has value now in the market. It has value because governments care about it, because investors care about it, and because consumers increasingly care about it. And without digital technology, we can't really do this. So this is, I think, one of the great benefits now of digital technologies. We can tokenize and digitize claims to common pool resources, like forests, and even in the future, maybe also oceans, and say, hey, it's thanks to me that this is taken care of. And that creates an incentive for companies and also for individuals, hopefully, to actually take better care of these resources.
Wow, that's a very cool perspective. on what will motivate a business to further transit into sustainability. Let's say there are businesses who are convinced that, oh, I need to take action on this. And there are so many digital tools out there that can help them accomplish this goal. Then what are the digital tools that you find as useful for the business to consider at the moment?
So it all depends on your line of business, right? So, and also it depends on how you understand sustainability. Like, what would for you be an example of like a sustainability action that a company can undertake or should undertake?
So for me, I think every company will use electricity. And that sounds like the most related case to companies to move to a more cleaner energy. But how that plays out is, I'm not sure how the transition would be.
Right. So I think this is a good example. Every company uses electricity. By and large, there will be very few that don't. And whether or not electricity is sustainable doesn't depend on you, right? So the electricity isn't green. So the only way you can buy green electricity is to buy normal electricity and then buy some kind of proof that you're compensating the emissions associated with that normal electricity. Now, does it mean that as a company you can do much about this? Well, not really, right? One thing that you can do is try to reduce your electricity consumption, but there's very strong limits to this. This means, of course, you have to buy energy-efficient manufacturing equipment, and so that's all fine. But if you're in digital, or if you're a bank, or if you're a hedge fund, or you're a broker, you can't really do much about your electricity consumption. You're going to consume electricity. So there's not too much there to do. What you can do is monitor it better. So you can use a variety of digital tools that create better monitoring. You can try to use digital tools to incentivize people. So this is like the nudging, incentivize employees, incentivize people responsible for whatever building management to switch off the lights, make sure that you don't leave on your computers. I mean, all of these kind of small things. Or you can connect your energy consumption to doing something good. You can say as a company, for every 1,000 kilowatt hours that we are consuming, we are going to plant 20 trees. And so this is kind of what my company Handprint does, right? So it's about giving the power to organizations that say, look, we know there are negative effects or negative externalities associated with some of our activities, but we can't just stop existing. We can't just stop doing what we're doing. But we can connect those negative externalities to positive things like reforestation or planting corals or removing plastic from the ocean, things like that. So I think these are the kind of activities that you as a company can do. And then digital technologies really permeate an entire field. They are, it can be apps to motivate people. It can be simple IoT devices to track your energy consumption. It can be using like something like voice over IP, like conferencing, like Zoom or whatever, instead of physical meetings, which of course now we have to do, but also especially if it requires international travel. So many of these things are choices that you can make as a company to say, well, this is going to reduce my negative impact. And whatever is not going to be reduced, well, we can do lots of positive things as well. And so we could even have a system that says, for every Zoom call we're doing, I'm going to plant a tree, right? Why not? It's very easy. Every individual can do this, and every company can do this, or even every employee within a company could say, hey, I'm making this decision on my own because I think it's interesting to connect what I'm doing as a person, even though I'm a small person in a very big organization, but maybe I can make my daily business, my daily operations a little bit better for the planet by making these commitments to myself, by making these pledges to myself and my company that I'm going to start doing this.
Yeah, those are some great examples. Yeah, enabled by technology. So of all the technologies that we have today, which one do you find the most interesting?
I mean, I think the ones with the highest potential for disruptive change will be blockchain and machine learning in combination with satellites. And in order to preserve nature and restore lots of the kind of degraded land that we have, not necessarily here in Singapore, but in Indonesia, in China, in Myanmar, in Vietnam. So yeah, these technologies are going to be very important. So because they allow us to monitor, they allow us to track what's going on in the field in a scalable way. And they allow us to create these tokenized assets that I was talking about before that capture these claims to ownership. And so I can go, let's say, I can plant a forest of 100,000 trees and I can monitor that forest via satellite. And every year I can see how much carbon that is being absorbed. Great. Then I can put that information on a blockchain and I can tokenize this into small pieces of carbon, and each piece is worth 1 kilogram of carbon. And then I can sell those at a price, or I can even trade those potentially. And as a consequence, I can distribute that ownership and different people will be able to support that, that forest. And over time, they'll be able to say, hey, as a company or as an individual, I am living a carbon neutral lifestyle, or ideally a planet positive lifestyle, because I am compensating 10 times more CO2 emissions than I'm actually responsible for. So, and yeah, I think these technologies make that possible. So I think this is why they're very important. But even the smallest things like just mobile internet and mobile phones with 4G or in the future 5G, they're potentially even more disruptive from a sustainability perspective, for social innovation, to create financial inclusion. Again, blockchain is important there. But yeah, I would say there are so many examples that it really depends what you're really interested in. Is it more nature? Is it more social? Is it more for small companies? Is it more for big companies? But yeah, the digital technologies that businesses are using on a daily basis, also like cloud computing, like, well, of course, the internet, and increasingly, I would say, IoT, they are going to be used for sustainability in ways that we can't even imagine yet, or at least I can't even imagine yet. So there's a lot of stuff happening in this space.
Yeah, sounds like an exciting time to look forward to. What are the digital tools that are used by Hemprain and Global Mangrove Trust? And what is the next big thing that you guys are working towards?
Well, so, I mean, Hemprain is an open digital platform that is a multi-sided market, so that connects impact companies that are doing something good for the world to clients that are willing to finance part of that. And then we create lots of tools to integrate these, let's say, bite-sized contributions to sustainability into business models of clients. So that's what Hemprain does. But in the background, we have a lot of digital technologies. Of course, we have databases, but we have blockchain, we have satellite remote sensing, we have machine learning, we have all of these technologies that we need in order to monitor what happens in the natural world and to make sure that when we tell our clients, hey, we're planting 20 trees in your name, this actually happens, right? So a lot of the technology that we have is to ensure that we don't make false claims. We're using technology to monitor that that impact is real, that money transfers are real. So all of these things may seem simple, but if you're working in areas that are, for instance, largely unbanked, right? So where very few people have a bank account and we're sending money to these organizations, let's say a nonprofit in Myanmar or even in Indonesia, for them, it's not self-evident that money arrives, right? And for us as an organization, of course, it's very important, and for our clients as well. So we have an app that we give to our impact partners that we designed for them. And with that app, they can send us a message when they have indeed received money. So, and that could be typically in cash, right? So we received this much cash. And then we at least know that, okay, we've sent out, let's say, $10,000 and $9,600 arrived. Okay, $400 were costs. That's a lot. But okay, at least we have some transparency. And so a lot of the tools that we are using are being used really to create that transparency so that we can tell our clients, like, look, everything is on the table. We are not hiding anything. And if you're saying, if we're telling you, for instance, on our platform, you can plant a tree in Indonesia for $1.5, then we will tell you exactly how much money is arriving at the NGO level and what the NGO is doing with this, which is very different than if you're donating money to an NGO, say, oh, I really like what you're doing. I'm going to send you $20 a month now. I'm going to enroll for some NGOs. You have no idea what happens with that money. It ends up in a big pile, and I'm sure they're doing something good with it. But that level of transparency, more and more clients want that. They want to know where the money is going, and they want to see what's happening. So our partners upload videos, upload pictures that become accessible to our clients, and all of these tools create trust. And I think a lot of what we're trying to do with digital technology at Handprint and Global Mangrove Trust as well is to make sure that people and companies can trust what we are saying, they can trust that this is real, right? Which is important, because if you buy a pair of shoes, you get the pair of shoes and you know it's real. But if you sponsor a tree, nobody's giving you a tree, right? And then we can say, oh, but a tree is somewhere there. You just Google it and you'll find it. But that's not really credible, because I might have sold that tree to 100 people. Of course, we don't do this. But we need to show people that we don't do this. And so you need a lot of kind of complex technologies in the background to build that trust, to create that credibility, like, hey, this is real. And this is, I think this is what we are doing at Handprint.
Mm. So it sounds like building trust is the key to help businesses move towards this direction. And the digital tools are the things that make this building trust process happen and more acceptable by the clients. Cool.
Yes.
And I think we can have one more questions before we end this podcast. Is if our listeners are interested to find out more about Handprint or Global Mangrove Trust, or even have a collaboration with you guys, how can they do it?
You can email me at simon@handprint.tech or simon@globalmangrove.org. You can go to our websites, of course, which have the same, handprint.tech or globalmangrove.org. I'm always open to have a conversation depending on what your line of business is. I may have to guide you to some of my colleagues. But we're super excited. Like, with Handprint, our first big push is in e-commerce. So we've created a plugin that enables companies to do something good for the world at the moment of checkout. So if you have an e-commerce store and you want to tell your customers, hey, at the moment they're going to click to say, okay, I'm going to buy this product, something will show up and say, hey, 1% of the money you're about to spend is going to be used to, I don't know, preserve the bees in Laos or plant trees in Indonesia or remove plastic from the ocean. And so that's our first big product. So any e-commerce stores are super welcome to apply, or to just write. But also, we're talking with a lot of larger companies as well to make bespoke integrations, just to create a simple measurement for a simple digital KPI. So something that a company wants to measure and then connect it to something positive. So for instance, we've created a tool together with Teats, which is a digital marketing company. So anytime you see digital ads on the Straits Times side, for instance, then that comes from Teats. And so now with our tool, we can measure the number of impressions, so the number of different people that see the ad, and connect that to reforestation. So for 10,000 ads, one tree is automatically planted. So this is like a new tool that we've been developing, which I'm very hopeful that it's going to be a big success, because I think it's a very easy way for companies into doing something good. It links with marketing. That's where the big budgets are. And it could be very impactful, because digital advertising is a $580 billion business, I think. So we don't need a lot. We need a very, very, very tiny percentage of that, and it's going to have a massive impact. So
yeah, that sounds like a cool and convenient way to make impact on sustainability. And this is absolutely. This is a very interesting and insightful sharing session from Simon. And it is our pleasure to have such a talented and versatile speaker with us. So looking forward to see your future development in your research and business. Thank you for joining us today, Simon.
Thank you very much. Have a nice afternoon.
If you're interested in the questions we're planning to address, please visit our podcast homepage at www.agilesustainability.org. Let's collect more puzzle pieces on sustainability together. Subscribe and stay tuned.